excited. We're starting a new series tonight called The Family Business. The Family Business. How many people here tonight, their family owns a business? Can you raise your hand? Raise it high. Let me hear it. See it. What business does your family own? We got a pool business in the house. Somebody else, raise your hand. What you got? Tile work. What you got? Seafood. I saw a hand over here somewhere. What do they do? Shipyard. There we go. So we're going to talk about tonight the family business. And when I think about the family business, you know what that means? The whole family is involved in the business. You don't clock in at 8 o'clock, and at 5 o'clock you clock out and you go home. It's always on your mind. There's things always pressing in on your decisions. You might be like the sessions with Jacob. They're shrimpers. They do seafood. Day in and day night, they're thinking about the boat. They're thinking about their nets. When they're out on the boat, probably when they were smaller, they used to take their whole family, mom, dad, the kids. I remember when Jacob was real small, he went overboard and could have died, could have drowned, been terrible. His dad had to jump in, am I right? Why? Because they are all in for the family business. See, if they weren't all in about for the family business, they would just say, see you, Bill, have a good time. We'll stay here at the house, make all the money, let me have all the things. But no, while he's shrimping and they're here, Miss Eunice is probably making all these phone calls, figuring out how to distribute the seafood. Because why? Because they are all in the family business. And when I think about the family business, my family is in the family business of the church. My dad's been a pastor pretty much my whole entire life. He's been a youth pastor, and then he's been a pastor here at Praise Family Church for 22 years. And see, when you're a part of the family business, you look at things in a different way. See, if your parents own the business compared to you just working for that business, you look at it a different way. And can I say that? Are you right? Like when I pull up on church property and I see a Coke can or I see a piece of trash, I'm a part of the family business. I pick that up. But see, if you're just a typical, you know, worker or employee, 9 to 5, you see that trash, you know what? Jimmy can pick that up. I'm going here to make my $8. I get paid $8.50 to work here. I ain't doing that. Now, if they paid me $10, I would do that. But can I tell you what? I bet you before Jacob ever got paid, he picked shrimp. Is that true? Before he ever got one check, he picked shrimp. Why? Because he's invested into the business. See, our family business and youth is what? The church. What are you doing? Are you just some employee that shows up every Wednesday night? And then when you go home, you forget about the family business? Is it on your heart every day, every night, praying, seeking God, reading your Bible, figuring out how can I reach that neighbor? How can I reach the coworker that I work with? Or how can I reach my sister or my brother or my father or my aunt, my uncle, my grandparent? Because see, when you're all invested in the family business, you don't forget about it. You don't think, oh, it's Wednesday night, we got youth. Tuesday, you're praying, seeking the Lord's face. I can't wait for youth. Impact my life. Am I right? So my question, diving into my family business, are you a part of the family business? Maybe you're here tonight and say, you know what? I don't feel like I'm a part of the family of Christ. I don't feel like I fit in. I feel like everybody walks with their right foot first, but I walk with my left foot first. Or I'm left-handed writing and my handwriting's terrible. I was shown today how to tell which one is handwriting left-handed and right-handed. Useful knowledge right there from the great and only Pastor Jeremy. So we're going to look at Ephesians 1, verse 5. It says, God decided in advance. So God decided it when? In advance. To do what? To adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do. And it gave him great pleasure. See, God didn't just say, you know, I don't have nothing else to do, so I'm going to adopt you because I'm bored. He wasn't sitting down and saying, you know what, I'm tired of, you know, Jesus, so I'm going to adopt this. No, he wanted to create you, he wanted to adopt you, and he wanted you to be a part of the family business. See, I'm adopted. And the crazy thing that I love about being adopted is I was chosen. See, my other brothers were just made, and they couldn't help that. I was made as well, but I was chosen. I remember the story that my mom and dad told me when I was chosen. My dad was a youth pastor just like this, in a service just like this. And a girl came up to him and said, hey, we heard you couldn't have kids. And we wanted to ask you, can we ask you if you would adopt my baby? She was all by herself, no one for her. And she said, I can't find no one to take him. And if we can't find anyone, I guess I'm just going to get an abortion. And my parents said, we would love to have him because they couldn't have kids at that time. See, my parents wanted to adopt. God wants to adopt. And it says it gave them great pleasures. See, I don't know where you are in your family situation. Maybe you're a stepbrother or a stepson or a stepdaughter. Maybe you have a stepmom. And it kind of be kind of weird maybe or inconvenient sometimes. Like you'll be walking up and you might say, hey, mom, Sarah, whatever you're, or Pam, because I have a stepmom. And, or you might be like, you know, might feel weird. That's only because of the devil. They love you. And if not, God loves you because they adopted you into the family. I hated that my mom passed away more than anything in this world. But there's nothing greater to know that I have a stepmother that loves me just as her own child. She adopted me. She took our name. And she is pleased to see what we do for the kingdom of God. Amen. That's just what God is. See, my question is, are you willing to take the adoption and be a part of the family business? As you keep reading in this, it says, look in Galatians 4:7, says, now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. That's good news. Because if you think about it, I think a lot of people think as Christianity, as these other religions that pretty much make you enslaved to what they believe. Say, Buddha, I love some hibachi or Chinese food. There's nothing like going, sitting down, and the guy's got his top hat on, and he starts beating the ever-loving junk out of his little spatula and his fork. What that says is the food's about to hit the grill. And I've always looked and wondered, and I looked in the corner, and they always have a little Buddha at the corner. Have you ever seen those before? Buddhas. He's just a statue. And they got fruit. They got fortune cookies, maybe. Maybe they got some crab rangoon over there for them. And can I tell you, not one time has that food ever been touched I've seen. Never moved. And they are so in bondage and enslaved to that. Or maybe you think when you come to know Christ that you can't talk to him, you just cower down and you just feel like a slave to Christ. No, that's not it. You have been adopted and he has chosen you as a child of Christ. And see, you're the second because Jesus was the first, so you didn't even have to be crucified. And he said, you were just like his own, and I'll take you in and I'll make you heir. See, when you're an heir, what does that mean? You have influence and you have inheritance, right? Come on, anybody listen to me? This is good stuff. You have inheritance. So whatever God inherits, I wrote this down. This is really good. It says, we are fellow heirs of Christ, who is the heir of all things. So whatever God inherits, we inherit it as the family business. That's good stuff. So when your fellow Christian is inheriting prosperity, or is he inheriting the most friends? You can inherit that because Christ inherited it for you. He inherited everything because he went to hell and took the keys of life for you. So he says, come, be a part of the family business. Come, be a part of this. I have adopted you. I have proclaimed you're not a slave. You're a son, and a son you shall be set free. So come and be a part of my business. See, back in the day of the mafia, if you weren't a part of the business, you got 6 foot under because it was a big deal. And I think we as Christians, we don't take the family business as a church as big enough deal as it is because we don't value what a person's life really is. No matter, we might hurt it, we might say mean things, and then we're like, they'll get over it. They might, but they might not. And they might turn their back on Christ. See, when you're a part of the family business, you want your product, you want your name to look the best. Is that right, Jacob? You want Session Seafood to be the best shrimpers around, right? Not second or third. Because we are heirs. He has an inheritance of that business, so he wants it to thrive and not just quit right before he gets old enough to take it over. See, what are you willing to do to keep the name of the family business of the church, of Jesus Christ, of your family to thrive? Amen? There's a story in the Bible. Let me see here. My notes are messed up. Here we go. In Luke, called the Prodigal Son. Everybody heard that story? Let's read it. Luke 15, 11 through 24. It says, Jesus told him this story. A man had two sons. Everybody say two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now. I want my inheritance now. I don't want to wait till you die. I don't want to wait till you get old. I'm tired of living under this roof. I'm tired of living under these rules. I'm ready for my money now. It's my money, and I need it now. Who do we call? J.G. Wentworth, 877, gosh, no! Come on. It's the summer. Do y'all even know what I'm talking about? Come on. Anyways, back to the family's business. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About that time, his money ran out. A great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He pursued a local farmer to hire him. A local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his field to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here am I, dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party now begins. That's a great story. See, you might be here tonight, and you might be a part of the family business, and you said, you know what, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of doing this. I'm ready to get out. Give me what I deserve. Give me what I think I'm owed, and I'm going to take it and fend on my own. I don't need you, God. I don't need you. I don't need anything. I can do it on my own. That would hurt as a parent if you went up to your parent and said that, wouldn't you think? If you were a parent and your kid came up to you and said, if my son Michael says, Dad, I want my inheritance now, and I'm gone, which will be easy for me because it'd be like $5. So I'd give him $5 and be like, get you a couple of double cheeseburgers and I'll see you tomorrow. But it would hurt me bad, real bad, to see my son go off with everything that I had for him, that I could train him up, that I knew the calling and the gifting that he had, and he just left me. But there's something about this story that is so awesome. When the person was at his wit's end, was contemplating eating with the pigs because they were so hungry, was contemplating eating this mess that these hogs were eating because there was, he had so much hunger. He had so much, you know, he was just at the end of life. He said, you know what? The servants that my fathers have crumbs that I can eat off, that at least I can have food there. See, I don't know where you're at with your walk with Christ, but the family business of the church has not left you. And you might be like the prodigal son. You might be like, I'm starving. I can't get through it. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's time to turn around and come home and be a part of the family business. Come. Because what I love about the story is when the father saw the son, he didn't wait to get to the door and say, I told you it was going to be bad. I told you you weren't going to make it. I told you you couldn't do it without me. I told you you were going to run, be broke. I told you you're going to be poor and you want to eat with this. You ain't going to make it. You're going to spend all your money doing wild things. No, the father left his house, left all his security, left all of his royalty, and ran down the road to his son and grabbed him and kissed him. You get how great that is? I don't think we get how great that is. I need an illustration right here. Come on. Come on. Stand up here. What's your name?
Cade.
Tell him. I know your name. Tell him.
Cade.
Caden. So, Caden, go stand over here by this. Go stand over here. So, go stay. Keep on. So, go all the way to the wall and act like you're walking here. We got to get this because this is huge as Brady comes. Start walking towards me. There's my son. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. Do you see that's my son coming back? He's been gone so long. And he ran, and he said, Caden! Yeah! Yes! Mwah! I love you! What? And his son's trying to talk, Father, I've sinned. I've come against you. You don't have a clue what I've done. And his son and his father's like, shut up! I don't care because why, Caden? I love you. My son's home. Go get the robe. Go get the ring. Cut the big fat cow. We're going to eat ribeyes tonight. Because the father didn't care about his past. He could see his future because he came home to the family business. Give Caden a big hand. And see, we have people, and it might be you, and we have people in our lives that we don't get excited when we see the people coming. How many people do you know that was walking down the road to get to the house, and they got right here, and they stopped because you didn't get out of your seat and run to them and say, you're home! I've been waiting for this! I need you! And give them a big kiss and say, let's cut the cow and let's eat some ribeyes. Because we know it ain't a church party unless we got food. Come on. Because when you are part of the family business, you'll get excited just like that over one person coming to Christ. You'll get excited like that when one person says, you know what, I'm tired about what I've been dealing with. I'm tired about what's going on in my life. There's no hope. I'm at the end. And if you're the true example of the family business of Christ, that shows the love, the compassion, to show them that they can do it, they're going to come running to you. And what are you going to do? You're going to sit there and say, yep, I've been waiting on you. I knew you were stupid. I knew you've been doing dumb things. It's about time that you did this. Or are you going to run to them and say, I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for this. The question is, you might be here tonight and I might not know Christ at all. Or you might know somebody. We have to be the example of the family business because we are not slaves. We are sons and daughters and have inheritance of the kingdom of God. Amen? Can we stand and worship for a second? Amen.